So my apologies to the front row for being spit upon. Hopefully it's anointed spit. It'll heal you somehow of something. I don't know what, but it could. So let's pray. Is that all right? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we love your presence. We love who you are. We love your nature. We love your kindness and your compassion and your faithfulness. Even when we're faithless, you are always faithful. Your character, Lord, is always displayed in how you move. We get to know you as glorious Father. So, Father, if we could work on knowing you as glorious Father today, that would be so wonderful. So thank you for your character. Thank you. You love us. Amen. So, you know, if you wanted to sum everything up we're going to talk about today, you could do it in one verse. And we're not going to stay on this verse the whole time, but it's Ephesians 1:17. And here's what it says. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So think book of Revelation. So that you may know him better. What's the purpose of Revelation? So think book of Revelation, seeing what's the purpose? To know him. To know him better. To know the glorious Father. So, you know, prophecy is kind of a word that mixes people up. And really all it means is listening and telling somebody. That's it. The Lord can speak through pictures. He can speak through impressions. I'm sure you've all felt led to pray for somebody, or you've had a dream, or you felt led to go on missions, or he can speak in a burden in our heart, like with Isaiah, or the disciples' hearts burning on the road to Emmaus. He can speak by like Jesus knowing the thoughts of the Pharisees when the paraplegic was being lowered through the ceiling. We can picture, we can see, as Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Right, there's all these different ways, and we'll talk some more about that this afternoon. Hopefully, I'll have a ministry team show up, and some of you guys want to get some prayer, and just, what is it like to have a blessing from the glorious Father, right? What would that be like? And it should be like getting kissed on the cheek. It really should. So today, we're going to talk about one particular aspect, and that's the aspect of journey. And when you learn how to listen to the Lord's voice, you know, the Lord doesn't always explain everything. Have you ever noticed that? He gives you just enough to get you moving, and he doesn't always tell you why he's telling you or where it goes. You might have an impression to, go in the mission field or take a certain career or date a certain person or read a certain passage or who knows what. But he doesn't always tell you why, because it requires something. It requires faith. So I think it's Romans 12:6 says, let him who prophesy according to the level of their faith, right? So faith there, it takes a bit of a risk. And in our culture, we really like to understand everything. We want to have a good understanding. If we're going to do something, we'd really like to have it figured out. But often in Hebrew culture, it's really about journey and getting to know who we're journeying with as we actually take steps, right? So knowledge and education is really important, but the Lord doesn't always answer everything until we walk, right? And there's lots of tests with revelation, of course, and we'll talk about that some more this afternoon. Confirmation, inner witness, bouncing it off other people, scripture, fruit. There's all kinds of tests. But again, there's this knowing the glorious Father. How many of you have had the Lord lay something on your heart and he didn't give you enough information to completely go? You had to trust him. Show of hands. You had to trust. Yay, I'm with my crowd. Woo, I feel at home. You guys are all as lost as I am. That's great. Now, why does God do that? Well, I remember James Dobson quoted a scientific study. And in the study, I don't know what school they did this to, they decided to take down the school fence. I think it was an elementary school, too, just to see what would happen. I mean, did the parents all sign off on that? Like, what did they do, you know? And what they thought would happen is when they took down the school fence, that all the kids would just kind of wander all over the place. But what happened was exactly the opposite. What happened was all the kids just gathered in the middle of the school field, and no one went anywhere near the perimeter because suddenly their boundaries were removed, right? What they had known as safety had changed. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they had a good school fence. They had the land of Goshen, but they outgrew it. But that old perimeter, when they started to walk the journey, they kept wanting to go back to what they knew was safety, right? And often when the Lord calls us forward, maybe to live by faith, maybe to go to the mission field, maybe,
Oh, our hearts get a little bit stirred up. And the Lord's really into that journey, okay? And it's learning how to journey with the Lord as he speaks, which is really important. Because if you really live in a Western culture, when the Lord speaks, sometimes we can really come under condemnation because we really want to figure it all out. So, for example, in my culture, our Western culture, I want knowledge so I can put the information together right, so I can come up with the right answer, so I can do it the right way, right? How many of you have yelled at the Lord, "Lord, tell me what to do," and nothing? The sign on God's door is, "The doctor is out," right? Often, in Hebrew culture, it works more like this, right? God gives me something to ponder, like maybe a change is coming, or he gives me a feeling or an impression, or I'm supposed to pray for somebody, and he doesn't give me the whole thing. And I ponder this, which makes me spend time with him, which makes me walk a journey of intimacy with him, which changes me into his nature. We with unveiled faces, we behold his glory, we're changed from glory to glory, right? It leads me to intimacy, because I think often when I get the right answer from the Lord, I go, "Thanks, God, see you later. I got what I wanted." I don't want relationship there. I just want to do what I'm doing, right? But if I'm walking this, how many of you spend way more time with God when you need an answer? You do, don't you? And the Lord's like, "This is awesome. They're spending time with me. I'm going to keep my mouth shut as long as I can." I think he looks at it very differently, right? I mean, Graham Cook loves just the season of the desert, right? Oh, that's horrible. But Graham would always say to me, "Oh, I will allure her into the desert, and there I will speak tenderly to her, and I will give her back her vineyards, and the valley of Achor will become a pool of blessing." Right? The Lord loves us getting us alone and spending time with us. But often we look at the things that cause conflict as we must fix this. And the Lord's looking at it as, this is a great opportunity to meet me. Right? All right, so let me give you a crazy example from a crazy prophetic perspective. So I needed an answer on something, and I needed money or change. I can't remember what it was, but boy, I needed an answer. So I went to my favorite place to pray, by the Fraser River, and I'm walking, and I'm worshiping the Lord. "Oh, Lord, love you. Oh, you're so great." And I start thinking about my problem. Oh, man, that's a big problem. "Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And the Lord says, "What do you think of those bushes over there? Those are really nice bushes." Like, what? That's just me, right? Erase. Start again. Worship. "Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you. Oh, that problem's really bad. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? What do you think of those trees over there? Aren't those nice trees?" I'm like, and then I realized, he just didn't want to talk what I wanted to talk about. Right? Now, this is important. You need to try this. Right now, how many of you need an answer? God's not talking to you. No hands? Okay, here's the thing. Change the topic. Change the topic. Ask him about your friends. Ask him about your neighbors. Ask him about your church. See if he'll talk to you. Because you know if he does, it means you don't have a problem hearing. He just doesn't want to talk what you want to talk about. That's really important to know, because here's the thing. Often we make getting the right answer the paradigm we question our relationship with God through. If I can do this and I get the right answer, therefore I'm close. But if I can't hear, that means maybe I can't hear, maybe there's sin, maybe I'm not gifted, maybe he doesn't love me. That takes me down a whole paradigm of belief systems where I can negate myself based on how I'm applying something. And you can test that really quickly. Just change the topic. Because if he's talking to you, you have a relationship. You're totally fine. But you're trying to live out of a relationship with the Lord that's based on a paradigm of performance, not a paradigm of intimacy. And if you're going to walk with God in intimacy, you have to do it his way, listening to his voice. And sometimes when you're on that journey, what he's doing is pulling up your fence. He's looking for a big internal change to bring you to a new place that in your current understanding, you can't get there. But it's going to take walking by faith. Like Abraham, children of Israel in the desert. Like Joseph, like David in the caves, right? Over and over again, these guys were required to trust beyond what their eyes could see. Okay? Journey. I pray God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so you could get all your answers. No. So you would know the glorious Father. Relationship. Relationship changes you. Okay, so let's look at an example of that. So we're going to mainly do a scriptural example of this for now, and then in the afternoon I'll give you a real personal boots on the ground, how you walk that through. Okay, so Acts 10. If you don't mind, take your Bibles, turn to Acts 10. I'm just going to track my water bottle down as you do that. Okay, so paradigms and belief systems. We all grow up with ways of seeing culture and life and family that are not all necessarily correct, right? A lot of us grow up around dysfunction, which is just the human experience. And as it says in Corinthians, we now see through a glass dimly. All right, we don't get it all. And Jesus has even worked with his disciples. If we put time into it, they had him with them face to face for 3.5 years, still didn't get his mission, right? Still didn't get that he had to die and raise again. And it's amazing what our culture does to us. So when you're looking in Acts 10, you're looking at a guy about to go on a journey, and he doesn't know where it goes, okay? And he's got some paradigms. He's got some belief systems, like that fence around that schoolyard, that the Lord is going to have to remove if he's going to get to the place the Gentiles are going to come into the church. Because this is the birth of the Gentile church. No list of rules ever came down from heaven. The booming voice of God didn't say, okay, everybody, we're done with the temple. We're done with the feasts. Circumcision, bad idea. Let's get rid of that one. And start a brand new thing. What Peter had to do was ponder and put the puzzle together in an intimate relationship with God and walk it step by step until he went, glasses come off. Now I see it. Now I know. And then the Spirit came, right? But he had to change a few things in here before the encounter he so longed for came. And so often in our culture, we want, you know, our spiritual experiences with God to be like the road to Damascus. Light hits us, down we go, it's over. That would be nice. Most of the time, it's like the road to Emmaus. He's walking with us. We don't know what's going on. We're feeling kind of lost. We're getting some advice, but we're kind of stuck on our own problems. But our hearts are burning within us. We long to follow, and suddenly our eyes open. But it's walking in a relationship, okay? So here's Peter. You got to, and I want you to think about where he's at. He has a paradigm. He's got a belief system like that fence around the park. And you could sum it up in a few words, set apart. So he's a good Jew, and he believes he is set apart. So for a Jew to eat with a Gentile, at this time, it's a stoning offense still, right? Everybody that's a Christian is Jewish. They're all following the law. They're all meeting in the temple daily. And if you want to look at that more in depth, turn to Acts 15, and it's a little further down the road, but remember, some members of the Pharisee Christian Council, they say, unless you obey the laws of Moses, you cannot be saved. This is a big deal in the church. It's this crazy little timeline right here, series of events, that erases that right off the board by learning to follow a friend little step by little step, okay? Now, so I want you to just think about Peter. I want you to think about the temple, because that term set apart, the temple set apart. Everything is segregated into little pieces. You have the Gentile court, and then you have a wall that says, with a sign on it that says, if you're not a Gentile, if you're not a Jew, you go through here, you're going to die. And then it goes up about, 11 feet, and then there's the court of the women. And then right on the end, there's another wall where the court of the men's on the other side, about 11 feet up. And it says, if you're not a Jewish man, you go through here, you're going to die, right? And then after that is the court of the priests, with a wall with a sign again. It says, if you're not a priest, you go through here, right? You're going to die. And finally, way over there is a Holy of Holies with a big thick curtain. And the high priest would go through there once a year with a rope attached to him and bells on his robes. And they lead him in like a scuba diver. And the reason he's got a rope on him and bells on his robes, if those bells quit ringing, God strikes him dead and they pull his body out. Right? So everything is set apart from everything. And what's going to happen here is Peter, through the leading of the Lord, is going to take the Gentiles by the hand without any clear description from the Lord and walk them right into the Holy of Holies, and they're not even going to wash their hands. You've got to follow the path with the beloved. But left side of the brain's like, what is going on? But they got to keep an eye on intimate relationship of who they're walking with. Revelation is always about the change in intimacy that births you into your new season, right? And if you want to know how that works, come this afternoon and I'll explain it. Okay. So again, remember the saying of the Pharisees at this time, common saying, Lord, thank you that you did not make me a woman, a Gentile, or a dog. Pharisee prayer, right? At this time, it was worse than that. One of the teachings of the Pharisees at this time, or one rabbinical sect, was if you see a Gentile woman on the side of the road giving birth, let her die. The world doesn't need more Gentiles, right? It was a pretty dark time, right? We just don't understand when the Jews wouldn't even walk through Samaria because they were half Jewish, right? One of the teachings of the Pharisees, again, or a sect, was why did God make Gentiles? To stoke the fires of hell. Right? They have to have a purpose. They can't go to heaven. That's pretty tough. So again, if Peter eats with them, it's a stoning offense. This is Peter's culture. Okay, so let's go through this. How is God going to break that paradigm in Peter so he can even not only eat with these guys, but he can take them into the Holy of Holies? How is he going to do that? He's got some serious, right? Our weapons aren't carnal, but what? Powerful for the pulling down of strongholds and take every thought captive. This is where the battle is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and right, the perfect pleasing will of God. Okay, so that's where Peter's at. Let's take a look at how this plays out, okay? So, oh boy, we have got to kick it. We got to kick this up a notch here to get through this. So, I will do it kind of quick. So at Caesarea, there is this Roman centurion. He's very devout, and he's been praying and fasting, and the angel shows up. Your gifts to the poor, your prayers have gone up to God, and look what the Lord says to them. Let's see here. 3 p.m, a Jewish time of prayer. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter, who is staying with Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. That's so accurate. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to get God to speak to you? Here's the guy you're looking for. Here's his original name. Here's the name he goes by. Here's the job description of the guy he's living with. And here's his name. Woo! God, give me that kind of prophecy. What does Peter get? About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up the roof to pray, and he became hungry, wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him in red letters, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord." Well, that's Jesus speaking right there. And Acts, the next chapter, explains that's the voice of the Lord. He's talking in symbolic language again. The Lord really likes that stuff. "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." Not only unclean, but also not impure. Why? He's a good Jewish guy following Jewish law, right? And he's making sure the Lord knows he's kosher and clean. The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call," in red letters again, "anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately his sheet was taken back to heaven. Now, I'll tell you a funny thing, a little thing about trance, just for fun. So it's kind of like you're awake and God knocks you asleep. Shut up for a minute. Got something to say. So we're doing our conference, which is coming up June 12th here. A couple from the Toronto Airport are coming. So if you're interested, you can go to the website there. But in the afternoons, we would do a prophetic time. And people would sign up for a 15-minute slot. And you would pray for people in consecutive 15-minute slots. So this young guy, he wanted to not only do the morning, but the afternoons too. So he comes back to pray, and during the 15-minute slot, he falls asleep right in the chair praying for this lady, snoring. And he wakes up, he goes, "Oh man, that's embarrassing." And he realizes in that short little time, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a peanut machine, like a gumball machine, and 2 peanuts fell out, and the hand came and caught the third one. He goes, "Well, I got nothing to lose. I may as well share it. I'm already embarrassed." So he says to the lady, "Well, this is what I saw. I saw this peanut machine, and 2 peanuts came and hit the ground, and this hand came and caught the third." And she starts to weep. "The reason I'm here today is I've had 2 miscarriages, and I've asked God to stretch his hand out and catch the third because I'm pregnant again. And to me, A peanut looks like a little baby in a fetal position. She's weeping, thank you so much. How's that for interesting? Strange language? Yeah. Absolutely. But do you understand that his rational left brain information is like, this is stupid, I'm making it up, I'm gonna look like a fool. What did it take? Faith. He had to risk looking stupid. He had to get past his shame and fear. There's no way he would have ever known that was the Lord if he didn't risk. Right? Control is a good Western paradigm thing. Faith is based on stepping. God said to Graham Cook once, Graham, he's sitting on a park bench, I wish you would have failed more often. Why, Lord? Because it would mean you're willing to take more risks. I wish you would have failed more often. That's a good Western paradigm thing. Maybe the Lord is more interested in us trusting him than getting it right. You know, in the Bethel schools, you have to fail 3 times to graduate, hey? It's pretty neat. I think that's really great. I fail all the time, so it makes me feel wonderful. So, okay. So back to Peter. So while he's wondering about this vision, these 3 guys show up. So Cornelius has sent 3 guys, 2 servants and a soldier, told them what's going on, head off to Joppa and find this guy. And they're just coming to the house, and Peter's wondering about the meaning. These 3 guys knock on his door, right? And the Holy Spirit says to him, Peter, 3 men are looking for you. Do not hesitate to go down, for I have sent them. For time's sake, I'm paraphrasing. Now, you know when the Holy Spirit says, do not hesitate, you know what that means? You are going to hesitate. That means something's going to happen. The Lord says, do not fear. Oh, no. And the reason is the Holy Spirit's left out a critical piece of information here, right? He forgot to tell them they're Gentiles. Because Peter can't eat or go with these guys. He can't. It's a stoning offense. So Peter goes, oh, 3 guys at the door. This is great. Opens the door. Yeah! Closes it in their face, right? I have never touched anything impure or unclean. Oh, yeah, you're about to, like right now, right? So he opens the door, and what does he say? Why have you come? He has no idea. He doesn't know this is about salvation. He doesn't know what's going on. God has not informed him. Cornelius gets really specific stuff. Peter gets a creepy sheet with a bunch of animals that makes no sense. This is the guy that's going to birth a New Testament church on that? It's foolishness. But Peter's got to follow a journey. He's got to just walk it out and figure out how to put it together in relationship. Opens the door. What are you guys doing here? Well, we came from this guy named Cornelius who had a vision of an angel. He told you to come to hear what you got to say. What's he been commanded to say at this point? Nothing. That's awkward. So he invites these guys in. Now, he's broken a major taboo in chapter 11. He gets in trouble for this with the council in Jerusalem, right? And the thing they say is, you went in and ate with Gentiles, right? Big deal. But you got to think in Peter's thinking, kind of the temple schematic, he's kind of taken these guys by the hand now, and he's kind of walked them into the court of the men. But that's as far as he's gotten. He knows he can hang out with them mano a mano. I can be with these guys. God's told me I can. He doesn't know this is about salvation. Path hasn't got that far yet. His belief systems haven't changed that much. But he knows he can hang out with them, right? So the next day, he takes off with a bunch of the... I'm sorry for going a little bit quick, but I'm just looking at the time. He takes a bunch of the believers. This is verse, if you're still following along with me here. Peter invites these guys in as his guests, right? So he said, why have you come? He doesn't know. So verse 24, the next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa came along. So these guys are, again, Jewish converts that are following the law, but they're Christians, right? Let's see here. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called all together, all his friends and relatives. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him, falls at his feet. Peter says, stand up, I'm only a man like you. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. Okay, all Gentiles, and he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. How did he show him? In his vision, He's figured it out. Okay, three creepy sheetloads, creepy animals, three creepy guys at my door. This is that. He's got that far, but look what he says. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? He doesn't know. He doesn't know this is about salvation. All he knows is he's allowed to hang out with pork eaters. That's it. That's what he's got. That's all his journey so far has taken him. And often we're on a journey, change in school, who we're going to go out with. You don't get it all right away. You got to hang out with the beloved and listen. Confirmation. Spend time. Be his friend. Let him give you the confirmation and pieces you need. Right? And that's what Peter's doing. And this bursts the New Testament church. So Cornelius answered 4 days ago. I'm in my house praying at this time, 3 p.m, which is again a Jewish time of prayer, and exactly the moment Peter shows up here. Angel stood before me, said, call for Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner by the sea. Now we are here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord's commanded you to tell us. What has he been commanded? Nothing. He hasn't been commanded anything. But Peter says this, now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism and accepts men from every nation. The glasses come off. This is about salvation. That's why I'm here. But it takes till that moment to get it, right? And so you can think of it like this, that Jesus, or sorry, Peter, through the guiding of the Spirit, has taken the Gentiles now into the court of the priests. That's as far as he's gone. Why? At this moment, everybody's still following the law, right? This moment. It's going to change here in a second, but that's as far in his thinking as he's managed to get, okay? Here, how do we know that? Well, he starts to preach. We'll skip that a little bit, except for the last little bit. He commanded us to preach to the people, verse 42, and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. While Peter is still speaking those words right there, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, all these Gentiles. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Why are these guys astonished? They're not circumcised. They're not going to the temple. They haven't washed their hands. They're not following the law. This has never happened in the history of the church. Suddenly, the whole temple structure just falls down, and these guys, remember 1 Corinthians 6:17, do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That your spirit and God's spirit are one? These guys, they become the temple. They're into the Holy of Holies. Boom. There they are. And the whole temple structure collapses in Jewish thinking. And the Lord never put down a memo from heaven or a video series or, right? What did he provide? A series of events, things in the heart, voice of the Spirit, go with these guys, a weird vision of creepy sheets, confirmation of timing, the falling of the Holy Spirit. And they went, this is God. This is the Lord. But they had to follow a journey step by step, right? And now here's the thing. Often when we're on a journey with the Lord and we're like, Lord, road to Damascus, let me have it. The Lord's like, you know, we got to change a few things up here. I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to show you some things in your heart and your thinking. But we're going to birth something together. So think about often walking with the Lord's like birthing a baby. And my wife always says, you have no idea what you're talking about. But so... Because we think the big encounter with the Lord is going to come on this end of it. But you know, 3 months in, you're like, my wife's like, go to Dairy Queen for me, please. Again? You know, like something's happening, but you're not really sure. And sometimes we're on a journey with the Lord and we can sense change is coming. We should pray for somebody. There's new longings in our heart. The Lord might have given us prophetic words or there's things and messages that are starting to jump out at us. And we're aware, but we don't know where this goes. A few months more in, we've bounced off some people, we've got some confirmation, we're beginning to see some change, getting kicked in the ribs. I remember my wife thought her ribs were going to be busted a few times. There's somebody in there now. Something is growing and changing. 9 months in, Jesus, get this baby out of me now. Give me an epidural now. Quick, stat. You know, that's where Kelly was at. On this end of it, there's a birth of a beautiful baby. The thing is, we have to realize when we walk with the Lord and listen to his voice, that journey of pregnancy to the Lord is so important. And if we're criticizing ourselves and beating ourselves up that I can't hear, I can't get it right, I can't put it together, we're missing the whole point. The point isn't this. This is a result of intimacy with the beloved. This is a result of walking with a friend. Abraham, journey. Children of Israel in the desert, journey. Right? Birthing in the New Testament church, it's a journey. Why? Journey makes you believe in the goodness and faithfulness of God as he continues to come through for you based on his nature, not on your ability to understand it, figure it out, or do it. Just stand and believe. And you know what? I'll tell you a story of personal journey at one. Because I believe this message, this sermon has to end right now, 11:30. So there you go, right on the dot. So let's pray. Because how do you apply that? How do you apply that? So again, if you want to dig around, Acts 15, what did the disciples do? Acts 15, they write a letter and say, it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit, you Gentiles, not to bother you with anything more than abstain from sexual immorality and meat sacrifice to idols. God bless you. It seems good. What about the list of rules from heaven? How are we going to have a checklist? Just walk with God. What did Augustine say? Love God, do what you want. So that's Samuel's advice to Saul, right? Do whatever your hands find to do and God will be with you. Yeah. Love and follow and listen. So what is prophecy all about? I pray God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so you could figure out your destiny. No, you would know the glorious Father. Why? Because he will reveal his nature as you walk with him and he will birth beautiful things through you. If you trust him, because the birthing will happen. But nothing's born without intimacy, is it? Okay, so let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for process, the process we watch in Abraham's life, the children of Israel's life, with the birthing in the New Testament church, and you still walk with us like this today. Lord, you cause us to ponder. You cause things to rise up inside of us. You give us dreams and visions and things in sermons jump out from us, things in scripture. We thank you for the working of your spirit in our bones. For we are your children whom you love, and you are confident that you can change us into your image. And that's your job. Hebrews 12, right? He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is. And we thank you, Lord, for that. So, Lord, teach us to listen. Because what we encounter when we listen is the glorious Father. Amen.